How sad it would be to be blinded and not see what is right in front of us. Some people are born blind, some people get blind as they get older. And then there are some people that are spiritually blind, which is the saddest type of blindness there is. And I'd like for us to consider that this morning. Before we get into the lesson, we've got an excellent audience this morning. It's good to see everyone out. It's good, as I said earlier, to see more children with us this morning. That's always a blessing to have. So I want to talk about spiritual blindness. And one of the verses to consider, 2 Corinthians 4:3, because how do we become spiritually blind? Satan is the one that is going to blind us. And in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan is busy blinding people today. That's what we've been looking at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, how the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, they were blinded by Satan and couldn't see what was in front of them. Again, to compare physical blindness with spiritual blindness, we have several on the record of how Jesus healed a man of physical blindness. One of them is in Mark chapter 10. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 10, and we have where Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And again, I always find it interesting when they mention a person and they mention who he is the son of, so that they can check this out for accuracy later. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. When Jesus healed a blind man, when someone, one of the apostles, healed a blind man, it showed the power of God. And when Jesus did it, it showed his power not only to heal physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. And again, without our eyesight, we cannot see the wonders of nature. We can't see the features of our loved ones. And we can't see pitfalls that are right in front of us. Satan, the worst kind of blindness is when Satan blinds people. And Satan is busy doing that. All of us have family. We have friends that are blind. So I want us to consider how he does that. And if we understand a little bit better how he does that, hopefully it can help us in talking with our family and friends. And it can help us so that we do not become blind. But Satan, he blinds people by false teachers, by men's lust, by prejudices, by men's love for darkness, false doctrines. There are those tools and many others that he uses. But I want us to look at just a few of the ways that he blinds people today. One of the big ways is through prejudice. Some are blind to the gospel by prejudice. We hear this word used a lot. What does it mean? Well, prejudice is a judgment formed before the facts are known, an opinion held in disregard of facts, an unreasonable bias. So when somebody is prejudiced and they have a judgment formed before the facts are known, when we tell people they need to be baptized in order to be saved, before they know the facts, they say, no, I don't need to. They have an opinion about that. And it's a prejudice. And the spiritual disease can keep somebody from seeing something plain and simple statements in the Word of God. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. This is a plain, simple statement. It's a fact. Yet some people, Satan uses prejudice to blind them against this, and they disregard that. James 2:24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. What will men say? Oh, we can be justified by faith only. No, we cannot. Satan has blinded them. Matthew 16:18, Jesus talks about building his church. Again, people disregard the facts because of prejudice and say there are hundreds of churches out there. There are thousands. They're all okay. But John 7:17 says, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Jesus said, if you want to know the truth, you can know it. You can know whether it's from God or if it's some man's word. And don't be prejudiced. Know the facts. Prejudice causes people to remove a scripture from its proper context to hold to their own belief. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Is it a responsibility to take care of orphans and widows? Absolutely. But we do that individually. We do that individually, not out of the church treasury. So we have to look at the scriptures in context. You go to the book of Revelation, and in Revelation 20:4, as they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, people take something that's symbolic and they try to make it literal. That was written in Signs and Symbols. We have to look at the context of what we are reading. And back to the orphans, the widows, all of the social gospel that is out there. Friends, we can't pay somebody else to do our work. And that's what a lot of organizations do because Satan has blinded them. If we could pay somebody to take care of widows and orphans, we could pay somebody to sing for us. We could pay somebody to come and assemble for us. But Satan blinds people and they just can't see what is right in front of them. Jesus dealt with the prejudice of the Jews. In Matthew 13, beginning at verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For with the hearts of this people have grown dull, their eyes are hard of their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Blindness causes dull hearts, deaf ears, closed eyes. People are blinded by prejudice today. They think that baptism is not essential. And in Mark 16:15-16, when Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. there is prejudice about going out and sharing the gospel. I don't need to do that. It's not going to do any good. That's somebody else's job. And when you look at this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations, there's a lot of prejudice there. And you think back to the first century, did the Jews and the Gentiles get along with each other? They didn't get along. We're to share the gospel with everybody. It's a universal gospel. Whosoever will. Again, prejudice is something that blinds a lot of people. Well, another tool that Satan uses to blind us is pride and position. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, the chief priest would not confess Christ because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. John 12, 42 says, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. There are a lot of people today that are blinded by pride and position. Do you see a lot of people in the Lord's church that have high positions in the community or in businesses or in different things? You see a few. But where are a lot of those people that have high positions? They're in a church that does not teach the truth. And they do not want to be put out of that church because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. In some communities you can go to and you know who the big people of the city. They go to this congregation. It's just known. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They're blinded by pride and position. You take people that have position. Would they want to come to a small country church? Probably not, because if they did, they would be there. They want that praise of men. People, we have records of people in the Bible that believed, yet did not obey. King Agrippa in Acts 26, beginning in verse 25, as Paul is teaching to him, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason, for the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost altogether such as I am, except for these chains. For when he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with him. Did King Agrippa believe? Paul knew that he believed. Did he obey? He didn't obey. Why didn't he? It doesn't say for sure, but I would suggest to you was he didn't want to give up the position that he had, the position of power, that political position, to become what the world would see as a mere lowly Christian. And Satan has blinded people. Satan has blinded people where they have it backwards. Following Christ is the highest position that you can have. But Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? Because so many people are blinded by pride and position. Many won't leave denominationalism. They've got big churches with these fellowship halls with all kinds of programs and ministries. Everything under the sun except what God says to have. And they're blinded. They're blinded by the pride and position and the attachment to that. Many want leave institutionalism. You see that in denominations. You see that in the Lord's church. And sometimes you'll see people that won't even leave a large congregation to come and work with a small congregation. One of the reasons is pride and position. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, that we wouldn't do that in this congregation because they have a certain standard. And the standard we need to have is a spiritual standard, not a social standard, a spiritual standard. So people are blind by prejudice, people are blind by pride and position, and people are blinded by tradition. The scribes and the Pharisees were, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And notice that. He asks them, why do they transgress? They don't say the law. They say the tradition of what? The elders. Where the elders had set up things to do, and Jesus' disciples were not following what the tradition of the elders was. There is no authority for that. Sometimes we fall into that trap and Satan blinds us because of tradition, and we use that as an excuse for not changing and doing something in a better way. Some will say, you talk about something, you bring something up, well, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. It's following tradition. It may be a good way, but maybe there's a better way now. Some say we've always done it this way, but that tradition has only gone back a couple of years. It's not gone back to the first century. People, Satan blinds us. He just blinds us to follow tradition instead of God's word. In Matthew 15, picking up in verse 3, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus turned the tables on them, and when they asked, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? He said, why do you also transgress not the tradition, but the commandment of God because of your traditions? And don't misunderstand me, there's nothing wrong with having a tradition in the way we do something. But there's something wrong if that tradition becomes a law and we can't do it any other way. Paul had many traditions of his fathers that he gave up when he learned the truth. You think about Paul, you think about giving up a position, you think about giving up tradition. If you turn to Galatians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 14, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, Paul gave up those traditions that he had followed when he was under that Jewish religion. And that leads to the next point, where Satan blinds some by loyalty to a party or a group. You think about Paul. He was a Jew. He could have said, you know, my family are Jews. I'm always going to be a Jew. I'm always going to worship the Jewish religion. Some people today say, my family are Baptists. I'll always be a Baptist. My family is a Methodist. I'll always be a Methodist. My family is a Catholic. I'll always be a Catholic. What are they doing? They're following tradition. Satan has blinded them to follow tradition. Paul, back to Paul, he had an impressive heritage, but what did he do? He gave it all up for the truth. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have the confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, Paul saw the value of Christ, and when he compared it to the traditions of his family, the traditions were rubbish. They were all lost. He gave up, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. But Satan blinds people to those things that are worthless, those things that shine and dazzle us. They may be impressive words that some men are speaking, but they're empty words. They're empty words. Satan blinds us by tradition. He blinds us by loyalty to a party or organization. You know, I can't leave this denomination. I can't. My whole family's there. What will they say? What do you think Paul's family said when he left their religion? That would have been hard. That would have been hard. But he was not going to let Satan blind him. Another way that Satan blinds us today, and he's always blinded people, is by admiration for a certain man. And Paul warned about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, when he said not to think of men above that which is written. What does that mean? Here's God's word. And here's man's word. Which am I going to think the most of? He says, don't think of man above what is written. Think of what is written above what some man says. A preacher could come along and he's known and trusted for his soundness in the faith. And people might be charmed by him. And then he goes off into some false doctrine. He goes off has marital problems, does this or does that. He departs from the faith. And what happens? Sometimes people will keep following that man because they have placed admiration for that man above admiration for God. It may be because he's popular. He's popular and has influence on people. And some people will say, you know, he's such a good man, he's got to be right in what he's saying. And you stop and think about that. How has there been so much division in the Lord's church over the years? Over the last couple hundred years, it's been by someone following what a man said instead of following what God said. And somebody, again, going back just to the illustration of a preacher, somebody will say, you know, he's a good man. He would never do anything to harm the church of Christ. But what happened? He becomes blinded by Satan. Again, marriage, divorce, and remarriage is a common example. He used to teach this, but then this happens in his family, and he says, this over here is okay, and he's been blinded. He's been blinded because it's somebody close, and Satan uses that. And what's the harm that is done? The harm that is done is because he has stopped abiding in God's word. John tells us, 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Friends, it's sad to see someone that's physically blind. It's sad to see someone that is spiritually blind. We see them every day. And we try to talk to them, try to encourage them, to see what the Bible says. And Satan has them blinded. But there is a solution to that. And that solution is Christ. Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. There's a song in our book, open mine eyes that I may see the wonders of truth thou hast for me. And it goes on about God can open our eyes, our ears, our heart. And we need to keep our heart and our eyes open and always be mindful that Satan is going to try to blind us. We can think, it'll never happen to me. And friend, as soon as we think that, Satan's got one foot in the door of our heart already. Friends, Jesus wants us to love him, to submit to him as our Lord, to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways. He wants us to cling to him and to serve him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and my strength. So I need to ask myself, am I blinded? You need to ask yourself, are you blinded? And if we are, we need to pray to God to open our eyes. We need to remember these tools that Satan uses when we're talking to our friends and family so that we can help open their eyes so that they see the need to be obedient to God. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning and you know you're outside of Christ and you have no hope, why do you want to stay there? Why do you want to stay in a condition where there's no hope and the only thing that you have to look forward to is God punishing you? Whether you've not been baptized or whether you have been baptized and your life isn't right. You know, the reason we learn God's word, the reason he wants us to learn it is so that we will do it, we will obey it. We will submit to him as our king. If there's anybody this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.